Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, welcome, everyone. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, True Straight Up, the Chuck and Julie Show, brought to you by...
That's right. The show brought to you by Rocky Mountain Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine, HappyTrees.co, and Denver Synergenics and Dr. Julie McCallan. Hey, I want to let you know we were kidnapped by FBI agents and the Department of Justice, as was Robert
and
Spencer.
The
and the CDC. And YouTube on Friday. So that's what happened. And then they, in order for us to not go live at all, completely knocked out Comcast and the entire BBC network. Actually, there was just a computer glitch. But so we're doing it again. And actually, I think it's just as well, because I was so...
Well, not with us. This wasn't our fault. In
right.
Texas, the internet went down to our host, BBC, or...
BBSradio.com. So we're doing it again, and we've had a chance to kind of digest stuff. So we're happy to bring with us Robert Spencer with Jihad Watch. And you've just had, Robert, a series of great columns about this whole Trump arraignment. I mean, we've all been watching the plane landing and Trump getting on and off the plane, the tons of support. New York, of course, they don't care about murderers, rapists, people robbing people on the subway, homeless people. They're just worried about Marjorie Taylor Greene protesting. Mm-hmm. But I guess you had a great column talking about sort of the lawfare situation of it all, and that Republicans need to realize this is sort of the way of the world. So your just sort of thoughts on everything today.
Yeah, absolutely. The indictment is obviously a nakedly political ploy designed to take a major contender for the presidency out of the picture without having to bother to defeat him at the ballot box. That's what this is all about. And it is, as many people have noted, a banana republic move, the arrest of the principal opposition leader who has scared and angered the people in power. It's just the kind of thing that we used to pride ourselves as Americans as not happening here. And
right.
So really, they've really crossed a Rubicon. They have taken a decisive step to destroy America as a free society, because now anybody who is in opposition, anybody who is a presidential contender that the sitting president doesn't like, has to be concerned, am I going to get arrested? Am I going to end up in prison because I am daring to oppose the regime? That's never been a consideration in America before.
No. Well, and not even before, at the very least, it used to be you should have to have some at least vague possibility that you had committed a crime. Right. Yeah. Now, you don't even need to have committed a crime. I was reading today. This is, you know, I see the evil hands of Obama in this. A guy by the name of Matt Colangelo, who was a brand new hire in D.A. Bragg's office. Steve Bannon had this on the War Room today, who is a former Obama/Biden DOJ attorney. He just came from prosecuting people who were protesting at pro-life protesters. Right. I mean, and he moved over to Bragg's office just a couple of months ago. And I think you're right. And you had a good column on the gag order, which is, I bet that's what's going to happen next, right? Because it's going to be one of those weird procedural crimes, right? They can't get him on the crime that they're accusing him on, but they're going to put a gag order on him. And anytime Trump opens his mouth, oh, just say on the campaign trail, they're going to say he violated the gag order. I mean, what do you think about that?
Yeah, if it's not going to be one thing, it's another. In the first place, as many have noted, this is the flimsiest case imaginable.
Right.
And that in itself, I think, is not a bug. It's a feature, because the idea is not so much to show that nobody is above the law, as all these leftists are piously saying, but to show precisely that people who oppose the regime are going to get whatever thrown at them, no matter what. You know, as they all used to say in the old Soviet Union, show me the man, I'll show you the crime. They'll frame you for anything. And so this case that several prosecutors have passed up, that the statute of limitations has run out, and that has never been a felony before. Suddenly, it's cause for the arrest of a presidential candidate. Well, obviously, then if that doesn't work, then you put the gag order, as right. you noted, and then Trump is a man who talks. Anything right. he says, then they'll get him on that. And if it's not that, then there'll be something else. Because after all, this comes after 8 years of political persecution, of frame-ups going back to the Russian collusion hoax, the Ukrainian phone call that resulted in the impeachment, and the biggest hoax of all, the January 6th insurrection. And they are avid to destroy Trump. We should be very careful to understand that it's not personal. Right. You know, they used to love him when they thought he was on their side. And maybe when he was on their side, I don't know. But the fact is that anybody who gets in the way of the regime, is the signal is being sent. You're going to get the same treatment.
And right. Well, so how should the average citizen or average Republican or average anything, what should they do?
Stand up, because what's that now? I'm sorry, Chuck.
What does standing up mean? It mean rioting in the streets, or what does standing up mean?
Because actually, it does not mean, as far as I'm concerned anyway, protesting in the streets, because that's just what they want. They even called out the Joint Terrorism Task Force to right. be prepared in New York City, because it's very clear that if Trump supporters do anything, they're going to plant, they'll be FBI guys in the crowd, they will plant false flag right. terrorist activities, and then it's
just like January 6th. Yes.
So what does standing up mean?
So standing up means in every front challenging them in every possible way. And so every time that the left does anything, they end up with 100 or 1,000 or 5,000 patriots who are standing against them peacefully and within the bounds of the law. But that takes any number of forms. Like the parents protesting at school board meetings is a classic example of what I'm talking about. They were charged with domestic terrorism. The last thing they should have done was stop protesting at school board meetings. They should have just kept coming. And then right. the more Americans keep coming, they can't arrest us all.
No, they can.
We are absolutely registering our public opposition. Now, that can take all kinds of forms without being out in the streets, because being out in the streets, like I say, it's just bait for them right now.
Well, you know, the other thing, I think Ned Ryan said this, and I think it's an excellent point. They also need to fight lawfare with lawfare. I mean, lawfare is a Democrat organization. It is a very specific strategy that they've been using forever. Right. And they particularly then gone after it with Trump. I think that you need to have governors in red states turn around and arrest the Speaker of the House. I mean, if they can make up laws, I mean, show them. It's like, you want to do this? Okay, fine. I mean, he had a good point. They're lobbying nuclear weapons at us. You know, we can't just stand here and throw paper airplanes at them. And I absolutely agree with that. We want to say, okay, you want to twist the laws around? We're going to arrest you. We're going to arrest your governor. We're going to arrest your whatever, your elected official. What do you think?
DAs to do that, attorney generals or DAs, somebody who's
in states, yeah.
Yeah, in red states, and they're terrified to do that. But it's the only solution, because if all the reaction is, no, we shouldn't do this, you know, come the fall of 2024, they'll rig one more election and they'll be there.
Well, and if they don't keep Trump from running, then they'll arrest DeSantis, right? They're already laying the groundwork for that kind of thing. I mean, it is, when we were doing the research on Friday, it was interesting. Rush Limbaugh, and I'm going to give credit to the Gateway Pundit, found this, a 2020 thing that Rush Limbaugh did in October. So before the election, saying, look, Democrats don't want elections anymore.
They don't believe in elections.
They don't believe in elections. Their ideas are bad. They think that the stupid people can't be trusted, that they're the elites and they should be able to decide things. And the elections are just pesky. And I think everything he said has come true. And this is the latest fight there. It's like, you can't actually stop the election quite yet, but you can stop anyone, you know, in the opposite, the other side from running.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I completely agree that there are plenty of crimes that all kinds of leftist officials are committing, and actually many of them with impunity, because they know that there's nothing that right. the other side is going to do. And so you have people like Whitmer in Michigan and Hochul in New York who shut down the people and took away all manner of civil liberties, there ought to be legal actions begun against them by patriotic right. groups at this point. And right. fight fire with fire. Absolutely, yes.
Well, they're going to have to find DAs, not in Michigan, but in
wherever
West
they
states.
Can.
Yeah, I mean, it's, and of course, they'll all be criticized by all the Republicans. Say, we don't want to be like them. Well, you either adopt their tactics or you die.
Yes.
As far as I'm concerned. It's really, I've never seen anything this bad.
No.
And, you know, and of course you have the ever betraying Republicans like Asa Hutchinson, who said, okay, I'll run for president.
Now vote for me.
Yeah. And don't, and Trump shouldn't run because he's been indicted. He said, I don't like the indictment, but let's see how it all. No, we're not going to do that.
Yeah. Trump shouldn't run because he's been indicted is a classic example of why they indicted him.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Well, you know, I think
these lily-livered guys like Asa Hutchinson to run the other way. It was that is an example of the indictment working 100% as intended.
Yes.
Right.
And that's the kind of Republican that ought to be the man of yesterday. And every last Republican should stand up and repudiate that clown and repudiate above all that line of thinking.
Right. I think Trump handled this brilliantly. Sometimes you never know whether Trump on purpose handled it brilliantly or just came out that way. But in terms of, so he got word that he was going to be indicted. He put that out. Everybody was outraged. And there was time for all the, you know, like you said, the weak-kneed, swampy Republicans to see which way the wind was blowing. The wind clearly was blowing in favor of Trump. And I think by putting the word out early, I was surprised really at, I mean, Hutchinson's really one of the few who's come out, pretty much everybody else. I mean, Mitch McConnell hasn't said anything, but normally you'd see all the, well, let's see what the facts are, blah, blah, blah. But even Mike Pence, you know, Ron DeSantis was forced to say that this was bad. And I think that was smart because they all saw where the polls were going. You know, the scary thing to me is, so they don't want elections with the Democrats. And I want to get your comments on how this plays out because you're just an international expert. So, They clearly don't care what people think because the Democrats believe they don't need to care what people think anymore because they control things so tightly. And anyone who opposes them, like you said, we've seen from January 6th to pro-life protesters, things
parents,
like that. Parents. Yeah, they arrest them and set the groundwork for them to be arrested and censored. What happens when you have this, you know, sort of controlling, dominating party that just doesn't care at all anymore about the people? It's astonishing to me that I'm even saying that, but that's, I think, what we have.
Well, what happens, Julie, is Venezuela. Venezuela in the 1980s, that's really not very long ago, was one of the most prosperous countries in Latin America and a thriving republic. And then Hugo Chavez was elected president, and after him, Maduro, both of them being authoritarian socialists, they destroyed the opposition. They destroyed the possibility of free elections. They imposed socialism and they made Venezuela into a third world hellhole, one of the least prosperous countries in Latin America.
Yet Maduro is still running everything in Venezuela. The people have not been able to get that yoke off of them.
That's right. And that's what we're looking at. That's what America could be in within 10 years.
10 years? 2 years?
Yeah. Well, let me, okay, so, I mean, let's talk then a little bit historically, because, you know, we tend to think, oh, it could never happen here, it could never happen here, and yet it is happening here. And as you've said, they've made it clear they'll indict Trump on any number of things, and it doesn't matter how angry people are about it. Like you said, they'll arrest you for saying I'm angry about it, right? Historically, then, you've got Venezuela, so that doesn't seem very hopeful. Arab Spring didn't go that well. I mean, where is there any hope historically or internationally?
Oh, there's all kinds of hope historically. Okay. I mean, look at the founding of the United States of America itself, where there were people who were committed to the idea of establishing a government and limiting its power so it wouldn't become a tyranny. And it's been a wonderful thing that worked great for over 200 years, but now its core principles are being threatened. And I think far too few people actually realize that. And because we've had such a long period of relative peace and a long period of prosperity, people assume that these things will not and cannot happen. I remember I was talking to a lawyer a few years back and telling him about how concerned I was about the left's desire to destroy the freedom of speech. And he said, oh, no, look, I can reassure you. Speaking as a lawyer, there are abundant legal precedents for protecting the freedom of speech. And so you really don't have anything to worry about. They're never going to be able to destroy the freedom of speech in the United States. Well, obviously, that was a naive position. And I think far more people understand that now than they did even just a few years ago. The leftists who are in power today are the quintessential illustration of David Horowitz's dictum, a former leftist himself: inside every progressive is a totalitarian screaming to get out. They're getting out. And instead of focusing, you know, I think far too often right now, the Republican opposition is focusing on particular things like the border or inflation, gas prices, China, whatever, and not seeing the totality of the situation, that what we have in the Democrat Party today is a regime that wants to destroy the Constitution and impose a uniparty authoritarian state.
And they've quickly gone to the military and said, you know, we're going to call out extremists, which they mean people who won't do what they want. And so the army is being totally changed to fit their image of transgender, whatever they'd like. So it's hard to see where the opposition is really going to come from, because you have a media who at one time, at least we used to think of them as a bulwark of liberty, or, you know, New York Times, Miami Herald. You just go down all of them and think this indictment of Trump is great. Law is finally being enforced.
Well, even they say, what's interesting about that, they'll try to make an addendum there. Even Washington Post said, well, they think that this probably goes a little too far.
Well, what
can do about it? I mean, no one is trying to, even Politico was like, well, this probably goes a little too far. But no one's saying they should stop it, right? And I think
Politico said, yeah, it's a frame up. Yeah, it's a weak case. So what? They
hate
so much. They're just happy to see him being gotten on anything.
Right.
So
that's how authoritarian states are made.
Right.
And so kudos to people who are on the other side of Trump and have locked horns with Trump in the past, notably Jeb Bush, William Barr. There were some others as well. And they've spoken out against this. Really, lines are being drawn right now.
Right.
And we're seeing who really is in favor of having a free society at all, because that's what's the issue with this Trump indictment.
I mean, so going back to the example of Venezuela and historically, I mean, so if I'm, and I got to wonder if maybe this is where Jeb Bush and Ron DeSantis are coming from and not just polls. But I mean, you might think, well, I'm like a squish uniparty Republican, but I don't think that, I mean, the swamp, I mean, the Democrats, they're going to get rid of Trump. But then they're just going to go down the line, right? I mean, so if you're Jeb Bush, you're like, oh, this is my time, or Asa Hutchinson, I don't think they're safe. Do you? I mean, historically, does, you know, the guy in Venezuela say, oh, but you're kind of a nice opposition guy, so I'll let you have something to do in office?
Well, Jeb, let's remember, Jeb did speak out against the indictment. So Jeb's on the good side right now.
Right.
This is another matter. But yeah, they might want opposition. They might want opposition just the way that Henry Ford wanted different colors for his cars. You remember what he said? You can have any color car you want as long as it's black. And it may be that we will continue. I think it's actually likely that if, God forbid, the United States becomes the authoritarian state that Joe Biden and Merrick Garland envision and are working toward, then there will still be parties. There will still be elections. But every candidate will say the same thing. They will all, you can have any candidate you want as long as he's a big government authoritarian socialist.
Right.
That'll be fine. And so there'll probably still be a Republican Party, and it'll be led by the likes of Adam Kinzinger, Liz Cheney, and Mitt Romney and their spiritual heirs.
Right. Well, what about in terms of then, you know, what do we do? Because I think, when you look back, I mean, this has been coming for a long time. I mean, people like you, people like us have been warning about it. I mean, and
it hasn't really been coming for a long time. It's come on us incredibly fast, starting in 2016.
Okay, that's a long time anymore.
The groundwork's been laid for decades.
Right.
But all this has leapt out at us over the last few years.
Yeah.
When, you know, I mean, I can tell you in my own case, in 2016, I was still naive enough to think, oh, Donald Trump's been elected president. He'll implement his agenda now.
Right.
I did not see coming the idea of the deep state, that there was an entrenched bureaucracy agency in Washington that would actively work to impede his agenda and pat themselves on the back for doing so. But now we know, and we know that the whole thing has been very skillfully planned for decades, but now it's more, Trump really has forced them out in the open.
Yes.
He fouled up all their arrangements, you know. They thought that we would be in the middle of Hillary Clinton's second term and sliding peacefully and securely into authoritarian socialism without anybody noticing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Made them have to expose themselves.
Right. No, I think that's true. And you look at, I mean, what I was saying we've been talking about for a while is, for instance, George Soros funding DAs. Years ago, we were talking about, why is George Soros, Open Society, funding to the tune of tens of lots of money, DA races in Colorado? And then you look, and he's funding Secretary of State races. And today I saw the new Democrat chairperson of Colorado said they're going to start focusing on school boards, which they already control, and sheriff's departments, because there's sheriff's departments out there that are resisting the change,
change.
So you see that money coming. So that's been in place for a long time. And, you know, my big thing, I think, and I want to get your thoughts on this, is that I think we have come into an era where people cannot be not paying attention. There is, I kind of think, you know, the time for saying, oh, I don't listen to politics, or I don't pay attention to the Trump indictment. I think you need to understand, if you don't, there are not very many people left who can stand up for you, and they're taking him down systematically. And pretty soon there isn't going to be anyone.
Well, that's exactly what I was trying to say earlier. I don't think I said it very well when you first asked me, what can we do? And I said, stand up. What I mean is, every individual, wherever you are in your life, you have to see what the left is doing in your particular locality, in the school board or in the city council or whatever, and stand up against it. Understand that it's down to you, that there is nobody else going to fix this for us. We all have to stand. And if we don't, then they will certainly run roughshod over us.
Are you surprised at how, because I think you're right. I think we're supposed to kind of like be sort of, you know, anesthetized and sort of, you know, yes, we complain about gas prices. Yes, we complain about this and that, but we wouldn't necessarily notice that we suddenly couldn't speak freely anymore. But Donald Trump really did expose them. And I think also made them realize that if they needed to put the nail in the coffin, so to speak, they needed to do it quickly, and they needed to do it now because people were starting to wake up.
Well, you know, I wrote an editorial which I went over the last fifth of a century and how systematically they changed virtually every election rule, from ballot harvesting to financing to everything. And now, you know, they can totally control the system. And yet the former head of our party in Colorado and a congressman, he says, we have the gold standard of elections in Colorado.
Right.
And what can you say? I mean, if you ask the average Republican in Colorado, are the elections fair? The average person say, yeah, absolutely. And they're not. I mean, they've rigged the entire system. But as long as you have the heads of opposition parties saying, this is perfect, this is great, we got shut out again. We can't even win a single office in the state, but we got the gold standard for elections. I mean, it's just,
so that's what you do in Colorado. Get rid of those people.
That's right. Well, you know, here's the one thing, too, though, is thank God. And I think this is one of our big hopes that's still out there, and that is the Supreme Court. And thank God Trump got to appoint some people to the Supreme Court, because I would imagine that a jury in Manhattan is going to convict Trump of whatever Bragg tells him to kick him up. I imagine that there's going to be something coming down in other states. And it's going to be tough in Florida with the Mar-a-Lago stuff, but we'll see what happens there. I don't think they're even going to shy away. I used to think, oh, they can't indict Trump because they'd have to indict Biden. I don't think they care about that anymore. But I think they're going to put a gag order on Trump to say any kind of campaign appearance he makes is going to be a violation. Anytime he tweets or puts something on Truth Social, rather, it's going to be a gag order violation. And hopefully, before they can get shut down all the lawyers, that'll go up to the Supreme Court. I mean, is that a hope? Do you see?
Let me just intervene.
Okay.
We all hope that the Supreme Court would at least bring us back to an honest election in 2016, not throw everything out, so that a truly dishonest election, they did nothing. And they did nothing. When Merrick Garland decided to send the mobs around their houses, they've done nothing. You know,
they get it now.
Well, they don't get it because they are doing nothing. because they know that the left will go after them if they try to.
I think you're absolutely right. You know, I still don't understand about the 2020 election. Now, I know it's forbidden to say that the 2020 election was fixed, but still, it's a very strange thing what the Supreme Court did when Texas brought a suit, you remember,
yes,
to the Supreme Court saying that the other states where the elections were tainted had infringed upon Texas's sovereignty or suffrage or whatever. And the Supreme Court wouldn't even look at any of the fraud allegations, but just said Texas doesn't have any standing to sue another about what's going on in another state. And I thought, well, okay, but if that's the case, then who does have any standing? What the Supreme Court was essentially saying was that the states were sovereign to the extent that you could commit complete fraud in a particular state and deny the people's right to vote and submit completely fraudulent election results. And as long as they were certified by the valid state authorities, then there was nothing the Supreme Court could do. And I thought, well, then what's the recourse? Does it? Yeah. If that's the way it is, then there's going to be rampant fraud. Yes, and yet nobody ever seems to address. I don't understand why nobody seems to address.
Well, they don't address it because the courts are afraid. And Merrick Garland made them afraid. And they just are cowards. I mean, they should, you know, you can go, well, you can't imprison and put in detention an entire group of people like the Japanese on the West Coast. Oh, you want to bet?
Yes, the folks in January.
Oh, yeah, sure you can. It's not a problem. Oh, yeah, that's absolutely.
Well, since we get our shows. Hey, listen, Robin, we've got another guest coming up, so we've got to let you go. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I recommend PJ Media. You've got some great stuff going on there. Appreciate all you do. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's good talking to you, folks. Thank you.
Okay, all right. Thank you. Robert Spencer there. He's been just on fire there with PJ Media. And Thomas, if you want to go ahead in about a minute, go ahead and call Wayne Allen Root. But you guys have been tons of comments, and I apologize we can't get everybody. And thank you, Dr. Donna. Good guest. Robert Spencer is always great. Charlene is saying the Supreme Court enabled the operatives to continue going after Jack the Colorado Baker. Exactly.
They didn't make a ruling. They didn't make a ruling. They just said, okay, we'll send it back down. They've been terrible.
That's right. And then Leo says, Spencer, that voting rights of the state is called the Constitution. Dr. Donna, same as DeSantis having no connection to say what he did regarding any action he would not take about Trump. Jacob, wasn't it 10 years ago that the U.S. House was caught paying hush money for affairs, including congressmen? Oh, Jacob, you know, I made a note of that for our Friday show that we didn't get to do.
Congress
has paid out. So that means not Congress, but the Office of Ethical Payments to people that Congress people have harassed, or whatever the office is called, has paid out millions and millions of dollars on that. Did you want to say something, Jacob? Is that you?
Yeah, I'm here. Well, so did Bill Clinton. I think he paid $850,000 to Paula Jones, and they didn't make a stink about it. And that was Democratic money. That wasn't his own money.
Right.
I have an idea that I think I don't want to leave it on one type of profession, but you know, the truck drivers have got a lot of power, and if they're really right-leaning, they could say, listen, we're not taking any more deliveries to New York.
We need to call Barney. You're right. We need to get Barney and say, no, that's a good point.
You do need to look what the Canadian...
Yeah, then the Canadians took their money away. Yeah.
And I remember during COVID, New York wouldn't let people into their state. I guess, you know, the red states can start blocking people from the blue states.
That's a good point. Yeah. Say, you can't come here, too. Well, I think you're right.
You go to New Jersey, maybe. You
start fighting, like I said, lawfare with lawfare and fire with fire. Jacob, I'm going to let you go because we got to get Wayne Allen Root on the phone.
Okay,
but thank you so much.
Tell him I said hello.
All right. Hey, we do have that good job that we have Wayne Allen Root. He is a best-selling author, commentator. He's got a podcast on Lindell TV and a new book out, The Great Patriot Boycott. It's a book basically letting conservatives know what companies to support. Wayne, thank you for your time. Good
afternoon. Jacob says hello.
And Jacob says, our listener Jacob says hello.
Hi, Jacob. Hi, Chuck. Hi, guys. Hi, everybody. It's great to be on with you. Hi, Julie. Hi, Chuck. Hi, everyone. Great Patriot Boycott book is my joy. You know, it's been my 3-year work of art, and it's got 123 companies in it that you can proudly buy from because they are patriotic, conservative, or Christian. And it lists why, and it lists the products they sell, and it shows That's you great. How we can create a conservative economy, a conservative parallel economy. And I think the Trump indictment and arrest and arraignment is a perfect example of how we've got to build a conservative economy, because the people on the other side are stark, raving insane.
Well, you know, to your point, I just read today that Bud Light now has a special transgender beer bottle to support their transgender activists. So I hope you have some light beers that we can drink that is not the Budweiser.
Well, the good news is, well, I don't know if it's good news, bad news, but it's certainly news. This is the first time in history a beer has ever committed suicide. It's never happened before, and it just happened because Bud Light is finished. It's over. They're about to lose $1 billion in sales. They'll never recover.
My favorite beer, so screw that.
And that was my last book. My last book was 2 years ago. It was the Great Patriot, but a Great Patriot protest and boycott book, and it showed you the companies to boycott who were liberal and woke. And you know how good it was? Well, a friend of mine is on Wall Street, and he does analysis and research on Wall Street, and he analyzed all the companies that we said you got to stop buying from and stop investing your retirement funds in. And they've lost together, the 116 companies in that book, Great Patriot Boycott book, 116 companies we listed have lost over $1 trillion in market share in the 2 years since my book came out. So we have led the battle against the woke and destroyed them. They've lost $1 trillion in value. And I think it's not just us, but we certainly helped a lot. And now we've identified the best companies to buy from. You know, it's one thing not to spend your money somewhere, but you got to spend it somewhere on certain products. And we have found all the best companies to spend your money on.
Well, that's let me have you tie it back to, as you said, you know, the big news today, Trump and the arraignment. We just had another guest on, you know, who says it's shocking. And he said, if we're not careful, we are well on the road to becoming Venezuela. We were talking about, so what do we do? And, you know, you fight back and you stand up. But it seems to me that this is a kind of thing, too, that you can do, right? It's, you know, like I said, we've got, I think they need governors and people in red states need to start going after, you know, Democrat politicians the same way, you know, that they're going after Trump and other Republicans. And I think this is a similar thing, too. One of the little things that people can do is support companies and.
Right. Well, supporting the companies that are in the, the Great Patriot Boycott book is one thing. I think moving from a blue state to a red state is a second thing. I don't think there's any question. That's another thing that I recommended in my 2003 bestseller called Millionaire Republican. I was way ahead of my time. I had just moved from California to Las Vegas, Nevada. And I said, what a difference, you know, zero income taxes and freedom and no IRS, no state version of IRS like I had in California called the state. California State Franchise Tax Board, no such thing in Nevada. Nobody, you know, I've lived here 21 years, no one's ever contacted me. I've never heard from government in a single phone call or letter in 21 years of living in Nevada. In California, it was 12 times a year. So it's a better life in a red state or a zero tax state, smaller government state like Nevada, Florida, Texas, Tennessee, Utah, the list is long. There's some great states out there. So you want to start moving. I call it the Great American Divorce. You know, we need a national divorce. And if not a divorce, certainly a separation. And this is the way to do it. You buy red and you move red. And I'm the guy who came up with the idea, by the way, that if a blue state can indict, you know, a ham sandwich because he's a Republican, then like New York just did with Trump, then we should fight fire with fire. I'm the guy who came up with the idea. Let's indict Hillary. Let's indict Obama. Let's indict Soros. Yes. Let's indict, by the way, Bill Clinton for his sexual escapades and all the payoffs. And most importantly, let's indict Dr. Fauci. And I'm telling you this because Trump saw my column and retweeted it and endorsed it and said, Wainwright has the right idea. And newspapers around the country went wild because Trump said he liked Wayne's idea. And they said, Trump and this guy Wainwright want to indict Democrats. Oh, my God.
No, we can't do that.
Republicans. I mean, I wonder if maybe we
can only indict Republicans.
Yeah. I mean, but I wonder if finally people are mad. And I mean, the people are like, oh, they would never do that. They would never indict Trump. They are. And they're going to keep indicting him. This is what I'm saying. And then they're going to put a gag order on him. And then as soon as he tweets or puts something on Truth Social, they're going to say he violated the gag order. So they're going to get him on that. And I mean, it's never going to end. And I think that you have to push back just as hard. And why is it? I mean, do you think Republicans get it now?
No.
Or do you think it's going to take more?
I don't think they ever get it. I think we just, you know, I say that because I am a Republican, but I'm embarrassed to be a Republican. Yes. We just elected Rona McDaniel, head of the Republican Party, head of the RNC. She's horrible. She's awful. She's not the right person. And we just elected Kevin McCarthy to be Speaker of the House. He's awful. He's not the right person. He's better than Mitch McConnell, who's the head of the Senate for Republicans, and he's even worse. So we've got leaders that are awful. They don't care about the people. They care about China. They care about the money they're getting paid in dirty deals with China. That's all these people care about. And Rona McDaniel is the niece of Mitt Romney, for God's sake.
Yes,
that's the worst,
yes.
That's
what
the worst
a great
Republican
American.
That's ever lived. So there's just a lot of problems. I just, you know, look, I grew up a very rough kid in a very rough neighborhood. And if you punched me, I knocked your socks out, knocked you unconscious. That's not what Republicans are like. They're a bunch of country club guys wearing green pants and red shirts, and they play golf with Muffy on the weekends, and they don't know how to fight. They've never been in a fight. They've never been punched in the nose like I have. They've never been beaten 6-on-1 like I have. They've never had a machete pulled on them like I have when I had no weapon in my hand and I beat the guy with the machete. They've never done these things. We're a party of cowards and weaklings and little rich spoiled brats, and we don't know how to fight, unfortunately. And that's the problem, and I think it's going to continue to bedevil the Republican Party, and our country is slipping away. And as I've said in many interviews, which scares the hell out of people, but it's so true, it's the most truth you'll ever get. This is a communist takeover, and in the history of the world, nobody's ever overcome a communist takeover by voting them out of office. It's never happened. Yeah. You can't vote communists out of office. So I don't know what people plan to do, but I can tell you right now, a vote ain't going to do the job.
Nope. No, well, that's, you know, we were talking earlier, Rush Limbaugh back in October of 2020 said Democrats are going to get rid of elections. They don't like elections because they know they can't win elections.
With their agenda. So they're going to get rid of them.
Just
and they have.
And, I mean,
they don't believe in elections. And so we sit here going, oh, we'll all vote for Trump. It won't matter. They'll rig that election like they rigged the 2020 election. They don't care.
Well, the only thing, I got to give you some good news. But there's got to be some good news or people won't vote anymore. You know, there's got to be some. The good news is that the Democrats are so scared of Trump. I said this in the interview just a minute ago. I'm doing back-to-back interviews for my book. And then in another 20 minutes, I start my national radio show, and then I start my Lindell TV show. So I've got a lot going on. And I said the same thing 10 minutes ago. I said the reality is that we've got to fight like crazy because Democrats are proving they're still vulnerable. They're still scared of Donald Trump. If they weren't scared of Trump, they would just let him talk and leave him alone. And they go, look, he's so dumb, and he says such offensive things and such silly things. We'll beat him by a landslide. That's not what they think. They think they've got to destroy him. They've got to arrest him because they know he could beat him. So if it was really a done deal, they would not be arresting him right now. They know that he can beat the rig. He's the only guy that can beat a rigged election because he did it in 2016. He beat a rigged election against Hillary Clinton. That's why they were.
Yeah, but the key to 2016 is they didn't think he could win, and therefore they didn't put in the rig, and it wasn't too it was too late.
But I think
I'm well aware. I'm well aware. But he did add 11 million new votes in 2020, go ahead.
I was going to say, no, you have a good point. They wouldn't be, they wouldn't be fighting so hard if they weren't worried about it. And then I know that once he gets in, he'll tear down years of the stuff they've been building. Well, listen, I know you only have a few minutes. So let me once again have you talk a little bit about your book and because I do think it's great. It's one,
it's a positive thing you can do.
You can do
one thing to say, I'm not going to drink Bud Light, but what are you going to drink?
and I'm trying to come up with lots of good ideas that are not, number one, aren't violent. I'm trying to avoid a civil war. I'm trying to avoid a revolution. And I'm also trying to, and violence. And I'm also trying to give kind of interesting ideas that won't get conservatives arrested. Because if you go out and protest Donald Trump, you don't know if they're not going to arrest you like January 6th and cause trouble and have Antifa in the crowd, BLM in the crowd, FBI infiltrators in the crowd. So, number one, when you sit home and you only buy from red conservative companies that I've identified in my book, The Great Patriot Buy Cut book, you're not in danger of getting arrested. Nobody can do anything to you. If you here's another idea. If you move from a blue state to a red state, no one's going to arrest you. They can't do anything to you. And you have a much better life in Florida and Texas and North Carolina, in all these good states, Tennessee, Nevada, than you ever would in California or New York. If we have a national strike by patriots, this is another one of my ideas. I think we should all strike for a weekend or a week. Whatever we can afford to do, we should strike. From the moment Trump is arraigned and arrested, I think there needs to be a national strike in this country. If we ever stayed home, we're the ones who spend all the money. The country would be quiet. There'd be no one in the supermarkets, no one in the department stores, no one on the roads. Kids wouldn't be in school. We would prove our power. We have the power because most consumer spending not all, obviously, but the majority is by Republicans and the silent majority that loves Trump. We're the ones that spend the money and we're the ones that pay the taxes. So if
we're the ones that do this stuff.
And we can join all the government workers who still haven't come back to work.
Yeah, I know. They never come in. You know, it's funny. My wife Cindy and I were invited by Trump to the White House several times for different things, Hanukkah party, Christmas party, and several events, including the Abraham Accords that Trump signed between Israel and the Arab neighbors. And each time we would walk back from the White House to our hotel, and we were just the times it was daytime, obviously. At night, we never walked, obviously, in Washington, D.C. But in the daytime, we would walk. And we were shocked that nothing was open. None of the government buildings were open. They had barricades in front. The doors were locked shut. There was nobody, no movement, no people on the sidewalk, no cars, no nothing. Nobody ever came back to work since COVID. These people don't work for a living in government. It's unbelievable.
Oh, they call in every once in a while.
Yeah, they call it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're right.
And they tell you they're doing such hard work at home.
Oh, they are.
That's a good point. Well, where can people get your books? And again, as you said, you're coming up on Mike Lindell on Lindell TV. Mm-hmm. You've got your own podcast. You're all over the place.
Yes. And by the way, you can always find everything I do at RootForAmerica.com. I'm Wayne Root, R-O-O-T, and it's Root, R-O-O-T, for America.com, and you can find my TV shows there. You can find my radio shows. You click on a button and you're automatically connected on your computer to my TV shows, my radio shows, my book, everything. But the book is The Great Patriot Boycott Book, and people say, where do you buy it? And I shudder when you say that because I have to go Amazon, and then they say, wait a minute, Amazon is woke and liberal. You're right. They are, but they also sell every conservative book in America, and they do 90% of the online sales in America. So if you want to buy a book, you almost have to buy it at Amazon. And if you don't like Amazon, you're going to buy it at Barnes & Noble run by liberals or eBay run by liberals. There's really no choice. Books are sold by liberals. So just buy it at Amazon. It gets delivered in 24 hours. And Amazon may be liberal, but I'm number one on every bestseller list there. Right now, every political category, I'm number one. So buying it at Amazon is not such a bad thing if you stop buying everything else at Amazon and only buy conservative books. They'll get the message.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
Frank, thanks so much for coming on.
All right. I'm on the run. Thank you, guys. Right. Really appreciate you having me on. God bless you. God bless America. Chuck, Julie, love you. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you there. Wayne Allen Root. I mean, those are some good ideas. And I mean, you know, if they were, because I think conservatives, for the most part, are the people who get stuff done, right? Mm-hmm. They're the plumbers, the construction workers, the grocery clerks, the truck drivers, right? If everybody did just stay home for a while, you know, who would wait on the elites, right? At their restaurants and things. We had a bunch of great comments here, too. Let's see, from Charlene, 1918 Russian Revolution, were Bolsheviks, European bankers. From Dr. Donna, is this similar to what America's mom is doing? I'm not sure what you mean. She's on, if that's what you're asking. Want to play, though, there are a couple of sound bites. One from Ned Ryan.
This is great.
Which is good, because he's also talking about what Republicans need to do. And
I promise you they won't do it.
Well, we can hope. And then another one, that's a hopeful one. But Thomas, I know we've been gabbing, so hopefully you're I'm not catching you by surprise here. If we could please play the Ned Ryan sound bite.
Your first about this. Well, they're targeting a political opponent over policy differences. The un-American left is ushering in a new era of pure power politics, in which they've decided rule of law, equal application of it, is dead. I would argue, Tucker, we're really living an illusion of a constitutional republic than an actual reality of it. And now the real rules of the game are 100% law is a weapon. And I think the real question I have is, are red state AGs and DAs prepared to wage this war of lawfare? And I don't want to hear any of them say, ooh, it's icky, we're better than that. If whoever says that, I really believe doesn't know what time it is, because we're in a Cold War, Civil War era in this country, in which we have to decide and commit to the policy of mutually assured destruction. Democrats are launching nukes at us. We better decide we're launching nukes back at them until they stop.
I mean, and that's exactly it, right? Yes. I mean, they're not going to, I guarantee you, this is the first of many indictments. I think, again, you heard it here first, the gag order thing. I mean, that's ridiculous. He has a First Amendment. They can put a gag order on the lawyers. They do that all the time. Exactly. Well, you can, but all my years of covering courts, they rarely gag the people involved.
No, I've seen defendants gagged. Judges do whatever they want in New York. They're gagging the lawyers does him no good. Gagging Trump is perfect.
Well, exactly. And again, and they're going to gag him, and then they're going to say anything he says is a violation of the gag order, right? And again, so then they don't need to, they can maybe drop the charges, right? It's a contempt of court thing, right? They can drop the charges of the whole made up, you know, business report thing. Well, no, but you know what I mean? Then they're going to get him on the gag order. So it will be never ending. But I want to end, we've got a couple of minutes, but I want to play this, a little bit of hope. This was a little promo thing. The Trump people are on this, I think. They're handling this as well as it could be handled, I think. If we could please play, and I'm skipping a couple here, Thomas, but if we could please play the Trump soundbite.
Durham probe into the Russia collusion hoax.
President Trump has just been impeached on both Article
1. The only president of the United States to be impeached for a second
January 6th committee releasing its final 845-page report.
Former President Donald Trump has been indicted.
Remember this. Nothing worth doing ever, ever, ever came easy. Following your convictions means you must be willing to face criticism from those who lack the same courage to do what is right. Relish the opportunity to be an outsider. Embrace that label. Being an outsider is fine. Embrace the label. Because it's the outsiders who change the world and who make a real and lasting difference. The more that a broken system tells you that you're wrong, the more certain you should be that you must keep pushing ahead.
This is a party that wants an outsider badly.
I continue to believe Mr. Trump will not be president.
You must keep pushing forward.
And it goes on. Yeah. I mean, they're putting out stuff. I mean, you know, Trump is prepared this time. That's the only thing. And, you know, they're going to do everything they can to harass his lawyers. Look what they did to Jenna Ellis. Look what they did to Rudy Giuliani. Right. Look what they did to Sidney Powell.
Yes.
And they're going to, I mean, the lawyer who's representing him now, I think one of them had to quit their law firm in order to do that. They're going to pressure. But I think he's right. And I think that's another thing. And we talk on the show a lot about PSYOPs, right? And it is dire. I mean, it is alarming what they're doing. And I think, you know, you and Robert Spencer are right when you say, look at Venezuela, but they want us to think that, right? They want us to think there's no hope. Because I know I found myself kind of thinking, I don't know, maybe I need to take a break from politics. And I thought, no, that's what they want. They want
a break from Adams County.
Yeah. Well, but you know, but I mean, but they want us to step back. They want us to say, look, I'm not going to pay attention. I'm just going to go do my yard work. Summer is coming. And we just can't do that because I think, you know, again, I think Wayne Allen Root had a good point that they wouldn't be pushing so hard if they thought they did have it in the bag, right?
No, they haven't totally, you know, rigged the system yet, or have confidence they rigged the system, since this time we'll be ready. When they rig the system, I think we'll be ready.
But exactly. Well, exactly. I mean, and Trump is known forever, you know, that this indictment was coming down. I imagine, you know, they say he was caught by surprise with the timing, perhaps, but I think he knew. And again, I think they did a brilliant job, the Trump people did, of getting it out there ahead of time. So you're Jeb, I mean, there's only one reason Jeb Bush is being supportive of Trump, and that's because he saw the
George
polls,
W.
Right?
Bush. Where's the former president? Where's that asshole?
Yeah. And
where's Mitt Romney? Where are all these jerks?
They're sick. Oh. You know, McConnell's sick. He just got out of the hospital. Yeah. Right. But I mean, but the vast majority of Republicans have either not said anything or they've supported him. But again, I'm just saying what was smart was that was smart of Trump to get that out there. And you see in the polls now he's crushing DeSantis, right? DeSantis, though, they're talking about, well, you know, maybe we don't need to worry about DeSantis anymore. That they are not backing people down. And I think you got to remember they're cornered, right? Because before they could back people down. They could silence people. You know, Steven Crowder with Louder with Crowder is being banned by YouTube now. And he's like, so heck with that. I'm going to Rumble. And then we're like, welcome to Rumble. We've been there for 2 years. Yeah. So it's like, if you haven't been, I mean, if you think YouTube isn't cracking down and what, you know, we saw Twitter was censoring people. You could tweet all you want about drag queen stuff, you know, and you could have the bad people tweeting, you know, violence against Christian children. But if you talked about the trans day of vengeance, right, banned. But the thing is we're paying attention now. And I think it is going to be harder.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if we're still here come Wednesday, but we hope we will. And we'll have some great guests. I want to say thanks to Wayne Allen Root. We want to thank Spencer. Robert Spencer and everybody else who's commented in or called in. We appreciate
it. We love all you guys on Zoom. Who knows what? Well, Wednesday, I'm sure, obviously, we'll be talking about what goes on at the arraignment and everything else going on, too. Oh, yeah. And just for fun, gas prices are going to be going up, too. So right, thank right. you, Joe Biden. Thanks. That was not a real thank you. Oh, okay. Those were sincere. We love you guys. We'll see you on Wednesday.
Bye-bye.